Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise Him all day long. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Please be seated. Good morning, church. Hey, we have all kind of exciting things happening. We've got a storm coming our way. We've got our college group that's down on a retreat weekend. We have families who are grieving lost loved ones at this time. We have projects that we're working on as the body of Christ. We have a lot of things that are happening. Some are exciting, some are sad, some are just things that happen. But in all of these things, God asks one thing of us as far as our attitude is concerned. He asks for us to be grateful. And I'm going to ask you right now, among all of us, we bring different experiences in. We have different mindsets. We have different concerns. We have different family circumstances, job circumstances, school circumstances. We all have something different, but are we grateful today? Do we have something for which to be grateful today? And the answer is yes, we do. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Thank you, Father, so much for the blessings of this day. We're so grateful, Father, for the songs that you give us to sing, for the melody we can make in our heart to you, for the opportunity to remember the body and the blood. We thank you, Father, for the material things that we have that we are blessed to be able to give back to you. We thank you for our great high priest, Jesus, who makes it possible for us to petition you through these prayers. And we thank you, Father, for your precious word and the guidance we receive from it. We ask you to bless us, Father, and encourage us as we open up your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We began last week looking at reasons to rejoice. And we are in the middle of a series of lessons from the book of Philippians. So I'd like to draw your attention to Luke chapter 17 as we begin. Luke 17. The gospel writer here presents to us an account that is only found in the gospel of Luke. Beginning in verse 11, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He here is Jesus. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Luke was a physician by his vocation. Luke tells us things that other writers do not tell us, even when telling the same story, because he uses different words, many times words that come from his medical background. One of the things that we know historically and experientially with leprosy is that the vocal cords are deteriorated by this disease. That people who suffer from leprosy, especially in advanced stages, can barely garner a whisper. Notice that all 10 of them joined their voices together so that through the 10 of them, Jesus could hear them. They cried out together. But also notice when the one came and returned. Verse 15, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Right there, Luke is telling us this man was 100% healed from his leprosy. So were the other 9. Thus, Jesus draws a question from this. Where are the others? Why aren't there 10 people back here thanking me for what happened? Why is it just this one and he's a Samaritan? You know, ingratitude is very much unlike Christ. We talk a lot about wanting to be Christ-like in our actions, with our words, with our thoughts. Everything that is about us, we talk about being Christ-like. Ingratitude is not Christ-like. In Matthew 15:36, Jesus would give thanks for food. When you look in Matthew chapter 11 and 25, he thanks God that he made his presence known and words available to people to hear so they could be changed. Jesus is constantly giving thanks to God the Father. When we turn our attention to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, among the many problems that the pagans, the Gentiles, had that put them in opposition to God, we read in verse 21, because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They didn't acknowledge God and they weren't thankful to God. How many people in the world today do you suppose walk around this beautiful creation, see evidence for God everywhere, when the sun goes down and the stars come up, when the sun comes up and you can see plant life, you can see animal life, you can see waters, waterfalls, beautiful spring-fed rivers around here. You can see oceans. You can see mountains. You can see beautiful things everywhere that testify of God. How many of those people do you think stop and give thanks to God for what they see and for what they have? My guess is not very many, because many of them don't even acknowledge God. See, ingratitude is a characteristic of an unbelieving world, and it should never be a characteristic of those who claim to believe in Jesus Christ. We should be the most thankful among all people, as Brother Tony talked to us about at the very opening. And this brings us to our scripture reading from just a few moments ago and the text from which our lesson will derive today. Last week, we talked about our reason to rejoice was that our names are written in the book of life, there in verse 2. Today, we want to talk about another reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to talk this morning about thanksgiving being a cure for anxiety. I'm not saying it's the cure, but it's a cure. I know that there are some people who have chemical issues and other things that cause them to have anxiety. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the rest of us that are not in that boat, but we still find things to be anxious about because we get in the habit of worrying. Giving thanks is a cure for that. If you're in the habit of giving thanks, what are you always looking for? You're looking for things to be thankful for. If you're looking for things to be thankful for, you're not having time to worry about the things that you don't have. We've got a song in our hymn book, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. See what God has done. You've probably heard this before. I was told many, many years ago by someone older and wiser than myself to take a sheet of paper out and draw a line down the middle of it, and write down the problems that you have on one side and the blessings that you have on the other. This person told me that you'll never run out of blessings to write down on that other side of the paper. Because just when you think you've completed the list, something else will happen for which you can be thankful. Blessings come, and they come, and they come. You know, God even causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He's trying to get people to pay attention. He's trying to get us to be thankful. You know, and it's not a natural thing to be thankful. It's a natural thing to be selfish. That's why with most of our children, one of the first words that they learn to say is mine. Am I right? If you don't believe so, go find a 2-year-old and go take their toy away. And you know what you're going to hear? Mine! Especially if it's another child that takes it. We have to learn to be selfless. We also have to learn to be thankful. And being thankful can help us when it comes to our anxiety. Please notice that we are to be anxious for nothing, chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, this idea of anxiety here means to be full of worry, to be constantly attached to worrisome ideas. The wise man in Proverbs tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you are constantly thinking about worrisome things, guess what you're going to become? You're going to become a worrier. When you become a worrier, guess what your state of mind is going to be? It's going to be one of anxiety. It's a natural thing. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus teaches on worry, and he helps us to see the futility of such an attitude. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, about midway through, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I want you to listen to what our Lord is saying to us here. And don't confuse concern with worry. Because we have lots of concerns. But if we don't allow those concerns to develop into worry, we never have to be concerned about this idea of this anxiety that Paul is writing to the Philippian church about. Jesus says, now this is, spoiler alert, you ready? God already knows what you need. He already knows. And if he is feeding birds, and if he is clothing flowers, how much more will he feed you and clothe you and take care of you? Where should our concern be, Jesus? Verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where our concerns should be, in seeking the kingdom. And what is the result of seeking the kingdom? All these things, food, clothing, shelter, all of these things will be added to you. Don't worry about tomorrow, he says. Don't worry about tomorrow. How many of you can change anything about tomorrow today? Any of you? You can't. How many of you by worrying can make yourself taller? Jesus asked the very question. You can't. You cannot change tomorrow. You know why you can't change tomorrow? Because there's no guarantee that you'll be in tomorrow. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. The only day that we have guaranteed in this life is today. That's it. Now, do we need to make plans? Well, of course you do, because there are things that require us to plan ahead. But in our planning, don't allow yourself to become consumed with a future that may not even be yours. Jesus says, focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on the righteousness of God. Because guess what you're going to do when you're focused on the kingdom and you're focused on God's righteousness? You're going to be grateful that he provides food for the birds, he provides clothing for the flowers, and he's going to do the very same thing for you. There are things that cannot be changed. Don't worry about those. Can anybody in this room change the fact that there's a storm that looks like it's heading our way? Can you change it? If you can, what are you sitting here for, right? We can't change that. You can't change that the sun's going to come up and it's going to go down. You can't change those things. You can't change the fact that you're a day older today than you were yesterday. Those are things you cannot change. And among the things that Jesus talks about are those necessities of life. The necessities of life. You can't change that you need food. You can't change that you need shelter or clothing. You can't change those things. So why worry about them? Yes, there, we've got to take action in our lives, but we don't become so consumed with those things that we forget all the blessings that we actually do have in life. Over in Peter, his first letter, in chapter 5, there's a similar statement that Peter makes to the one that Paul makes in the Philippian letter. First Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what should we do? Should we wring our hands because Satan's out to get us? Is that what Peter tells us to do? Of course not. He says we're to cast all of our care upon him. Now, where does Peter say go back and pick them back up later and start carrying them around with you? You ever do that? I'll put my hand up. I've cast cares upon God before and turned around and gone back later and picked them up and started worrying about them all over again. Well, you know, I think I can take care of this, Lord. Yeah, that's why you threw it at me the first time. Think about this. Why are we going to throw these cares at God and say, I can't deal with this, God. This is yours. And then a little bit later, walk over there and go, wait a second, I didn't mean to let you have that. That doesn't make sense. And that's not very smart either, is it? Who's better able to take care of the difficulties and the cares in your life, God or you? You don't have to answer that out loud. Cast those worries, those cares. Give those things to God. My grandmother was an amazing person. She lost her husband when my mom was 11 years old. And she had no skills. She had no education. And she taught me a lot about survival. I can remember going into the bathroom when visiting her one time and looking in the trash can, and she had split the tube of toothpaste around all three sides so she could get the very last bit of it out. Because she didn't have any money to throw in the trash can. She did what she could do, and she let God take care of the rest. And that woman never missed a meal, and she never went without shelter until she was 87 years old when she passed into eternity. God took care of her. He took very good care of her. But she had an interesting magnet on the refrigerator. You know, and I suppose many of us have magnet theology, right? We've got those little sayings that we throw up on the refrigerator. She had a magnet, and it had a picture of a rocking chair. And I've seen it since then in different places, but first time I ever saw it was on her refrigerator. And it said, worry is like a rocking chair. It doesn't get you anywhere, but it gives you something to do. In other words, if you can do something about it, do it. Don't sit around worrying about it. And if you can't do something about it, then why worry about it? Let God have it. Give it to him. Cast your care upon him. We need to be assured of the care that God has for us. When we give it to him, which he's asked for, and we toss that over there to him, we have an assurance that God's going to take care of it. Now, it may not be the way you want it taken care of. Hello? Because we've got our own solutions, right? That's why we gave it to him, because our solutions are better than his, right? No. God will give us a solution, but it may not be the solution that you're looking for. So be very careful with that. Back to Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. This idea of to or unto, let your request be made to or unto God, gives us this concept of let those things go into the presence of God. Into the very presence of God. Prayers, supplications. But our prayers and supplications have to be accompanied by what, Paul says? Giving of thanks. The giving of thanks. I appreciate Travis. I didn't give him a list of songs this week. And he picked out a great series of songs. And the songs about giving thanks, those are huge. Why are those such important songs? Because they are a reminder to us that we need to be thankful in all things. Worry, anxiety is out of place in the presence of God. We give those things to Him. And then we walk away and we worry about the things we gave to Him. Is that what we do? When you cast those things, your concern for that in that worrisome way should no longer exist. Do we believe that God can take care of those things? That's the question that we have to ask, is it not? Do we actually believe? Because if you don't believe it, why are you giving it to Him? But if you believe He can and you give it to Him, then why are you going back and grabbing it again? We're a fickle people, aren't we? We're very much like the Jews of old who were called by God stiff-necked. Because we want to have our cake and eat it too. We want it both ways. We want to give it to Him and then get mad at Him when He doesn't take care of it, when we went back and we picked it up and we didn't leave it with Him to take care of. Let God take care of it for you. When we worry, I want you to think about this. When we worry about things as children of God, we sit in judgment on God's love for His people. We're saying, God, I don't know that You love us enough. Because I don't know that You're going to take care of this. We're also sitting in judgment on God's ability to properly provide for and care for His people. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent, and if you're not and you're old enough to understand this, we're all children or grandchildren for sure. Can you imagine as a little child, 7 years old, coming up to you, your child, your grandchild, whoever it is, and just in total anxiety. What's the problem? I don't know if we're going to have food to eat tonight. And you tell your grandchild, your child, we've got food. We'll have dinner tonight, but I'm just not sure. What is your thought about your child doing that to you? If they just insist on over and over and over again, just worrying over whether or not they're going to be able to have a meal tonight, even after you tell them that there's a meal. You see, that's what we do to God when we question His goodness. We're standing there with a table prepared, worrying about the fact that we're not going to be able to eat. And God says, I care for you. I love you. And I'm going to take care of you. Just give me those worrisome things and let me take care of that for you. At the close of his first letter to the church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul writes something very similar to what he wrote to the church in Philippi. And when people tell me that they want to memorize scriptures, the first thing that I tell them to do is go memorize, because you'll get three. These three together are shorter than most verses. So you can say, I memorized three scriptures. Are you ready? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice when? When? Pray when? Pray, rejoice always, pray always, and in most things give thanks. What?
Everything.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Isn't that a synopsis of what he's telling the Philippian church in chapter 4 and verse 6? It's right there. Praising God, praying to God, and giving thanks to God. All the problems that you have, if you can focus on the good things and rejoice in them, give your cares over to God, and give thanks for everything that you have, you will be a less anxious person, a less worrisome person, and you'll be better equipped to carry out the work of our Lord in your family, in this church, in this community, wherever it is that you are working for Him. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Well, why should we do that? Because that is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Are you a thankful person? Are you grateful for what God's done for you? Do you understand what He has done for you? Have you looked into that and examined it yourself? There's so many things in our life that wouldn't even exist if God were not active in our lives. We look around, and if we pay attention, we can see the hand of God in our lives. There are people who are not here today because of extreme health issues that you and I do not have. Are you thankful? Think about it. There are some of you here who had those extreme health issues of late, and yet you have received healing, God healing you through doctors or medicine or however it is that God chose to heal you, and you're here. Are you thankful? Did you have a meal in the last 24 hours? I notice you're all clothed, and I'm grateful for that. Did you sleep in a bed last night? Did you have shelter last night? You see, look at all that we have to be thankful for just in the basic sense. And then you move that outward, and we will never run out of things for which to be grateful to God. This is another reason to rejoice, because our gratitude helps to eliminate our anxieties and worries in our lives. This morning, maybe you're one of those that keeps throwing it over to God and going and picking it back up and bringing it back over. Can we help you with that? Maybe it's become a habit with you. Maybe it's something you just done it so much you can't stop doing it. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Let us encourage you. Maybe sin has become a habit again for you. Can we help you with that? Or if you're here this morning, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, do you believe in Him as the Son of God? Are you prepared to repent of your sins, confess His precious name, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? God will raise you up cleansed, whole, His child, and in a position now to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness daily. He will be at your beck and call for you to cast your cares upon Him. But you got to start by giving your life to Him. Do you have a need this morning? Can we help you? Won't you make it known to us as together we stand and sing?